keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid, every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys for tuning in and everybody that's actually listening tonight. I know it's going to be pretty thin because it's the new year, but thank you guys for listening to us tonight on New Year's Eve, you know, because it's pretty awesome that you're taking the time to do that. I'm not going to be joined by DB tonight. He's doing his thing in his new home in Minnesota, and he's doing his New Year's thing. He may call in, you never know. But I am joined here in the studio with our newest team member, Jaime Lopez. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Pretty good, man. New year.
Yeah,
pretty excited about it.
Brand new year coming in. I'm sure there's all kinds of crazy things that went on in 2014 that we can talk about. So anyone out there listening tonight, feel free to call in. We're taking calls. We've got a basically unscripted show tonight. We're just going to talk about whatever comes up, I guess you could say. So let's try to keep it relevant. But anybody that wants to call in, feel free. The number is 718-717-8296. Once again, it's 718-717-8296. We are taking callers tonight, so
call in. We can talk. You get to meet me.
Yeah, call in. Ask Jaime anything you want to know. Jaime is going to be like my right-hand man, more or less, and we're going to be working a lot together. And, you know, for us, this has been a crazy... It's been a crazy year.
It's been a year of a lot of growth, my friend. A lot of growth. It's exciting. Usually, I'm not excited about the next year, or I want things to be better. This year, I think, was so good that I just want my next year to be as good, you know, or just keep getting better as gradual as it has. There's all these obstacles you always get, and overcoming them is pretty legit, you know? So I'm ready for the next year, man. I have a lot of goals. I have a lot of things, projects, and like I said, working with you, we're probably going to get the ball rolling on a few other ideas. Pretty exciting things. Hopefully you guys are all we can bring them into a different world, you know?
So before we go on into this new stuff, I do have a few news items that I want to get to eventually tonight. I guess we can talk about what it is we plan on doing going forward, you know, with the anti-media and what it is that we're going to try to, you know, morph this, you know, organization / movement into, you know, what it is that, you know, some of these new ideas, and you and me have been talking about, you know, setting up some video stuff and doing videos daily. We're building a studio up here, a video studio right above the studio where we're at right now. We're setting up a video studio to get the ball rolling on that. So, what are some ideas you think? What do you want to throw out there? What can the people listening look forward to in the coming year?
Well, what is it? You know, that's actually the fun part about this. What we're doing is we're trying to reach many audiences. You know, I think right now you were working on a people of readers, but you know, not everybody's a reader and they still want to make a change, you know. So how do we approach them? Videos, man. Videos have been a big thing for a while now, and there's so many people watching so many different videos. There's enough of it for everybody, you know. And if we can reach out, bring in more voices, more opinions, more views, more news, local news from all over the place, you know, kind of bring out what's really getting hidden, you know, by the public media, you know. I'm excited. I've been following Nick for as long as he's been working on this. It's pretty exciting to see the steps that it's taking, you know, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to do next year, man. You have a lot of plans and...
You know, looking back, man, at this time last year, looking back, like, you know...
Dude, you started this like 2-3 years ago, bro.
Yeah, like, you know, the anti-media has been this... It's been a Facebook page for a long time, and mm-hmm. it's been kind of a movement, right? And we were like, last year in 2013 was the year when, you know, we were like, is when the whole March Against Monsanto popped right. off, right? And that kind of was kickstarted off of the anti-media page, because one of the admins that I had brought onto the page had the idea, and we helped kickstart it, right? And now that thing has grown even, like, their Facebook page is even bigger than the anti-media, right? Yes. And we started, the March Against Monsanto came along a year later. but it's because there was such a backlash from the Monsanto Protection Act, and people are starting to realize that we're getting sick from the food, and the reason why people are so obese and why people have so much cancer.
It's not just Monsanto and the food here, man. Have you seen what they did in South America with Monsanto down there? They I forget which country it was, but they got people down there. It's the biggest soybean producer in the world right now. I forget which country it is, but the people in there have 5 times the cancer rate than they have in any other country in the world.
Where is
it? I think you're talking may have been in Argentina where those agricultural workers were exposed to the glyphosate Roundup, basically. And and there was also some other studies out of Southeast Asia where these people that are close to this glyphosate, and then over here they did some studies where they tested like fertility rates and birth defect rates among women that lived close to where they were using these pesticides and stuff, and there was a lot of really negative implications that were coming from these pesticides that are in a large part made by Monsanto. Now the whole GMO technology and all that stuff, I'm not a huge critic of like GMO technology in general, because I think it could be used for good. Unfortunately, the way that they're using it right now, like, is for just mass profits, and it's doing a lot of damage to a lot of people's health.
Well, you know, what it is the whole reason why they're doing it is because we have too many people in the world right now, and we need food, you know what I mean? And I don't agree with GMOs right now, but it's a way that we can get food to the masses, and it's a way we're putting food on our table, and I'm not arguing with that, but it's not the right way to do it, you know? I mean, look at Argentina. They got people down there with cancer rates 5 times higher than the rest of the world. We're destroying their countries right now, but yet we're putting food on our tables here in the United States.
Right.
You know, I mean, what kind of bullshit is that?
Where are you from? Where do you live?
California, SoCal.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we're in the same hood.
Yeah, he's 760. He's probably in San Diego like us.
Yeah.
At least nearby.
Oh, 760. I'm up here in the high desert.
Oh, I see.
Did you get any snow last night?
Yeah, we got a couple flakes, but it didn't stick.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, man, is that I've lived down in San Diego and Chula Vista like my whole life, and I've never seen snow. Now it didn't snow right here where I'm at because we're like real close to the bay, but in the mountains that are on the east, that border us on the east, that are actually part of our town, there was like a little bit of snow on there, man, and I haven't seen that ever, and I've been living here in Chula Vista for like 28 years, basically, you know. So, I mean. We're getting some pretty awesome weather, and you know we need it too because we're in this huge drought.
Yeah, we are.
Know? And that's another thing that these GMO guys claim to do is make these drought resistant plants. And you know, if that's the case, if they can genuinely make drought resistant plants that aren't harming anything in the ecosystem, then I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Well, but if they're making these pesticide-resistant plants like Roundup Ready corn, Roundup Ready soybeans, stuff like that, this is the stuff that they're using in all these third-world countries, growing it like in mass, these soybeans. And that is the stuff that saturates the environment with pesticides, man. And that's that kind of GMO stuff we need to oppose. You know, and Monsanto is one of the big companies that has been jamming that stuff down and using – one of the other things why people have such a beef with Monsanto is because they're so damn corrupt. Right. They have so many lobbyists. They have so many former employees, former lawyers in high places, Clarence Thomas at the Supreme Court. They got the guy at the FDA, Michael Taylor. I mean, that's one of the reasons why people are so – you know, adamant about going after Monsanto. And I think that's why that movement really took off, you know. And so last year, like, we didn't even really have a website. Like, our big accomplishment last year as the anti-media was helping to kickstart that whole March Against Monsanto thing. Now, as of this year, man, we just started really on the website, like, really, like, working it, because it was a long process of getting a good website. It took a lot of time and effort and money. And, you know, you run into a bunch of speed bumps with different developers and stuff making the website. It took us, you know, the anti-media has been in existence for almost 3 years. But it took us until this year in 2014 to really get the website together. And so it went from just me and, like, a few volunteer admins that we had on the page for a long time. And almost all of them are still with us, man. And these guys are what make the page so great. They make all these crazy content, these crazy memes. Well, these awesome,
you know,
like, Photoshop
images. I just have to say, man, that you guys are doing a good thing, man. We need more websites like this.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, what's your name?
Guys, and my name's Nick.
Nick. Well, we have another Nick. Hey, first caller, what's your name, man?
We have another caller from 440. How's it going? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I was calling just to listen. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was live.
Oh, we are, dude.
I saw on Facebook.
You can listen. We're good.
You could feel free to chime in, man. We're just taking calls tonight. We got a pretty unscripted show, so we're just trying to, you know, talk about some stuff.
That's awesome. This stuff drives me nuts too. There's nobody really in my life that believes all this crap I tell them, and you know, even if you show them, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I ain't got
you know,
time
that's
for that.
The problem. I do see that. You know, I notice a lot of people are like just well. See, the thing is that what. The population is kind of like fixed to go through this system, you know, and there's a lot of us that
are fixed to think a certain way. That's
right,
why.
Exactly, you know, and so
we all grow up in a system where we think a certain way, and that's how we're supposed to think.
Right, and so we're fighting that, you know. Us already getting in this movement, we just even being here, it's already a start, man.
Yeah, it's you know, I was watching Brave New World the other day. I've never read the book, but I watched that old. The old Brave New World thing from the 70s or whatever. It was like 3 hours long. And it was kind of basically that the funny thing about that whole the book and the movie that I watched is like it's basically just laying bare what's actually happening. I mean, they just openly talk about conditioning and like and yeah. You know, making people think a certain way, putting people in classes and
stuff
like that.
Have you ever read 1984, George Orwell?
You know, I haven't finished that book, man. I started it. I don't know what happened to it. It's such a good book, man.
I've read 1984. Yeah, once I started reading it, I couldn't put it down, man.
I'm
not sure about how factual this is, but I did read something about why TV was originally called programming in the first place. And it kind of like, whoa. Yeah, like, programming. People don't realize what the word actually means nowadays. It kind of gets diluted and... programming, you know, they're showing you what they want you to watch.
Exactly,
English language.
Right.
It had something to do with the First World War because nobody had a visual of what was going on over there. And so they put the first actual TV program, they said something about the war, so the parents and families could see, get a visual of what's going on. It calmed people down. Some story.
Hey, you guys mind if I put you on Facebook, get some more callers, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, for sure, man. We encourage everybody to share us out on Facebook and anywhere they can.
You know,
you can definitely start a roundtable right here.
The exciting thing about this is, I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just that Nick's view is coming alive, you guys. You know, he really had this envision of a self-sustaining community, man, within such a broad range, you know, of people. And there's this belief, and this is I'm in it for this too, that we can all help each other out. We can all provide for each other and learn how to barter our skills to kind of like...
Well, you're not talking about communism, are you? Because I don't believe in that.
Not necessarily.
No, man. I mean, We're just talking about a free voluntary system, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
But back to what 440 was saying, man. What was your name again?
Rob.
Rob.
Back to what you were saying as far as, like, you know, people that you know, maybe family, friends, you have trouble, like, talking to them about this, you know, real stuff, reality, more or less, you know, cutting through all this propaganda and starting to realize, okay, well, there's this huge monopolistic monetary system that's owned by the banks, that, and who knows who owns the banks, and they all have this military-industrial complex and all this stuff. I mean, these are huge topics, right? So, like, where I've found success in, like, talking to people that were maybe apathetic or maybe even kind of resistant to thinking about any of this stuff is, like, you just got to be really diverse in the way that you, you know, talk to these people, man. And there's always a way of, there's a way of kind of attaching something that's personal to them back to the idea of freedom. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the best way to go. And you just make, like, these small little strings of freedom to people that, you connect it to things maybe they care about. Maybe it's an old guy that has chickens and the city is giving him a hard time because they don't want him to have chickens or whatever, and his chickens are too loud. And that whole
oil thing, you know, with the oil pipe going through from Canada to the Mexico. There's people in Montana fighting right now, you know, and they're fighting the government right now trying to get that, because the government's trying to take their lands away to build these pipelines right through their farm. The Canadian pipeline, oil pipeline.
You know what I find ridiculous. The most I get people listen to me when they listen to me is when I start talking about digital money, where the banks borrow money from the Fed and they loan it to you in digital form, or they get it in digital form. They loan you some and they get the physical money back from you. And I explain the whole process.
Because it's money that doesn't even exist.
Yes, exactly. That's when people go, "Wait a minute, wait." Start over. Then they start getting like, wait, start over. Now I get what you're saying. Start over and start detailing this because that makes sense. That's why I like break the ice with certain people, because money is what matters. They keep you just broke enough to get by, because if everybody had money and everybody had enough money, who would work? Nobody, you know, unless you work for yourself. You know, nobody would work if we had enough money to buy what we needed to, because you throw the whole system off, and the people that are in charge of the money system would be broke even though they're still billionaires. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, it's all a part of us just working for them. You know, they're the ones that have enough money to build the corporation, and then they have people working under them that are hiring us. See, and because they own the corporation, they can do whatever they want to the workers that work for them. You know, there are no unions anymore. There's hardly any unions in this country anymore, which is terrible.
One thing about unions, too, man, unions used to be, like, really effective back in the early, you know, turn of the century and stuff like that. And
it would still be effective today.
Yeah, they were effective. I mean, they were pretty effective up until most of the manufacturing started shifting to China, right? And now the thing that's really scary to me, man, really why I started this is because I realized that we're in a time constraint, man, because we're coming to a point now, and even if you go to any big manufacturing plant in the US that's like up to date, you'll notice that like nearly all of it's already automated, right? It's all either machines, computers. I used to work before I started my old used appliance business before I started the anti-media. I worked at this print shop, and we printed like these books for like insurance companies and medical books and all this boring crap. And I mean, it was basically all the work was done by this giant printing machine, and then there were just three guys that made sure everything stayed in check, and that nothing went haywire. And then that was basically it. Everything else was forklift, conveyor belts.
Well, I mean, look at where all our labor is today, man. It's all overseas, you know, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and so you know, what I was trying to get to real quick here is that sooner or later, man, there's going to be basically no manual labor left for people to have. And so then, therefore, the worker, the union, the working class, the blue-collar American is going to be almost powerless as soon as all these machines take over all the work. Exactly. We won't even have to have stuff imported anymore because you have it done by all these robots. It's almost free, you know. So you know, this is when we get to that point. And then you got a bunch of working class people that have a bunch of mortgages and a bunch of cars and a bunch of stuff that they're going to not be able to pay for. We're gonna face this reality where it's gonna be, well, either everybody is gonna be supported by the government, and then we're gonna be a completely foregone society when it comes to freedoms and basic limitations on government and stuff like that. I mean, if we don't take steps in the coming, like, I would say 15 years.
Yeah.
To kind of get the ownership of all this capital back into the hands of the working class, then we're going to have a situation where it's every single person pretty much is going to be reliant on the government, and then the government is going to have completely free reign. And then it's just going to be like any other fascist state that has happened in history. Almost every empire, if you look back throughout time, almost every empire, the final climax is it's a fascist type of dictatorship, more or less. You know, and we're going to be in that situation in about 15 years, and this time it's going to be a bit worse because now it's not going to be soldiers. It's not going to be Roman soldiers knocking at your door. It's going to be RoboCop. It's going to be drones, and it's going to be stuff like that in the coming 15 years. I mean, dude, there's not going to be any more physical cops. There's not going to be hardly any more physical soldiers. This whole thing about no troops on the ground. Dude,
well, you know, this is
rhetoric building up to this whole idea that the future wars, there aren't going to be troops. They're just going to have drone armies. And
I don't know.
It's like
I mean,
Star Wars, man, when they have those, not the clone armies, but the, what are those guys?
I only think that would work if there aren't enough people to actually work for the police or work for the military or something like that. I mean, how are you going to have RoboCops? What are the people that are working as cops now going to do? I mean, unless we have a complete depopulation of the U.S., there's no way something like that would work.
Yeah, I know. It wouldn't work. That's why, like, if we allowed that to happen, it would become this total it would become a giant militaristic nanny state, like 10 times worse than what it is now, man. And we're already starting to see it. I mean, if you look at the total, like, labor participation, it's, like, at some of the lowest levels it's been in a very, very long time. And I don't think the labor participation is ever going to go back up. It's just going to keep going down, especially as all the baby boomers retire and stuff like that. I mean, the labor force is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. When it gets to a certain point, the working class is going to be completely powerless.
Well, see, more and more people are going to be born, and more people are going to lose jobs because there's too many people in this country. Just plain, that's how it is.
In the world.
In the world, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
you guys have any kids?
What's that?
Do you guys have kids? Any of you?
Oh no, I don't. I'm
I
only
have a dog. My dog. I love my dog. I love my dog so much. He's actually outside right now.
I got three boys and two girls.
Three boys and two girls.
Wow.
Now listen. Now I'm gonna give you a kind of like a thing of how I figured Democrats and Republicans out. Ask anybody you know in your life the difference between a Democrat and Republican. Not one person can tell you the difference. And,
exactly, they're the same thing.
Yeah, okay, now
they're the same
thing.
Okay,
let me make an awesome point with two kids. Okay, say there's two kids in a room, and they break something, and you weren't there to see it. And one says he did it, one says he did it. You'll never know who did it unless the one of them says I did it. That's why there's two parties, because they can always just throw it back and forth.
For 5,000 years,
someone to blame going and going. This is going to keep it ongoing. Now we're going to have a woman president because it was getting shaken up so bad, I think. This is my opinion. They had to throw a black man in there, which is fine, cool. Now we're going to get a woman next, just for 8 more years of this bullshit. And then
I don't believe the president really has enough power to actually make any kind of change at all. It's at a point now where the whole party system is not even based on the president. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Now,
what's that?
I want to make a point here real quick. 440, Ron, right?
Rob,
sorry. Just to quickly make a point here. I remember earlier this year, man, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago or so, I posted a status and I said, well, if it comes down to Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, then I'm gonna move out of the country because this is some.
That was you? Dude, I just saw that like 2 days ago. Actually, to be honest with you.
So we did a SM Gibson, which hosts our radio show on Tuesday and Thursday. And by the way, we're 5 days a week now, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. But SM Gibson made a meme the other day that basically said the same thing. It's like, if it's Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, which country would you move to? And it was one of our most viral memes of the year, man. It had huge amounts of comments and engagement and stuff. And but here's the thing, man, and here's where I kind of like, in a way, I think it's a sick way to think about it, but I'm kind of optimistic in hoping that it will be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, because then it'll just be another slap in the face to everybody. Oh, another wake up call to say, holy shit, this is just becoming a monarchy. You know,
yeah,
because
as long as
even if, you know, in my opinion, if we do see somebody like Rand Paul or what's her name, Elizabeth Warren, if we actually saw one of those people become president, like you were saying, Nick, it doesn't even matter. All that would be an appeasement. If we saw Rand Paul or Elizabeth Warren become president, that would just be an appeasement and nothing would end up changing, because Obama was also an appeasement. Everybody was so sick of the political system after Bush that, like,
yeah,
you know, people were close to giving up back then, and then they threw Obama at him just to give an appeasement, right? And
yeah,
then now everyone realized, even almost all of my Democrat, at least for sure all of my progressive friends, I realized, oh shit, Obama's just basically another neocon that is a bit more progressive on a few social issues. But when it comes down to it, we have the same amount of war, the same amount of foreign policy, the same drug war, all this shit. So, you know, I almost want to see Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush just so that more and more people start realizing, holy shit, this system's a fucking hoax.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, what people need to start realizing is it's not the presidents that make the real change. It's the parties that we have in this system. All right? There's no way you can elect a new president and say, oh, it's going to be different this year. No, that's not going to happen.
No.
You know,
it's just the same bullshit, either blue
on,
or red.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
no, what we need is a third party. That's what we need in this country.
818, what's your name, my friend?
Oh, that's Manny, dude.
Point.
Manny, what's up? You want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I hear the Beaner host is saying the right thing about the third party. You know, kind of nice to hear.
That's what
I'm talking about.
I like
but you know what? The bottom line, too, is that, you know, I'm starting to see some changes here already where people, the young generation is really, like, for instance, they finally took over station, St. Louis PD, right? I mean, they're starting to learn something from Mexico.
Yeah, we can't forget about that, man. The protesters in St. Louis took over a police station tonight.
Yeah, I watched the live feed. Hey,
can I make a
point?
It's not
the first time either.
Someone wanted to make a point.
Yeah, 440, go ahead.
Hey, okay, here's something to think about. Like, if you guys, from the time George Bush Sr. was elected, we had 24 years of Bush Clinton. If you think about it. Bush, Clinton, Bush, whatever, and then finally Obama. So there's people out there that are, if they're less than 24 years old, have no idea of anybody but Bush and Clinton. And it's kind of fucked up.
Well, shit, I was a kid when Clinton was in office. I remember him.
I was a kid Clinton.
I mean,
hey, do you guys remember?
He
I
was
think
my
it
hero,
was,
man. He got a blowjob from the secretary, you know?
I think it was in 2004 when it was actually Bush versus Kerry.
Remember that?
And those guys are
cousins,
dude. I mean, they're like, I don't know if they're first or second cousins, but they were like close cousins. And it was just such a faux election, man. Like, every election so far, and like this whole thing about Romney and stuff, like, Romney basically was handed the Republican nomination, in my opinion, specifically just to lose to Obama. I mean, I think these elections are basically made up, man. I mean,
yeah,
you know, what we know for sure is that the media completely controls the narrative when it comes down to national electoral politics, right?
Wait, what do you mean my vote doesn't count?
Nah, I mean, right now it's not. And then I don't know what to believe. I saw a documentary about the voting machines and how they can be inaccurate and stuff. I mean, I don't know for sure.
Well,
but,
must
I don't
be
doubt
that.
I don't doubt that. Of course,
yeah,
they can
exactly
be hacked as well and stuff like that.
I
so
well,
I mean,
you see, the way I look at it, it's not about who you choose to be in office. It's about what they want to be in office. All right. Yeah. See, we don't live in a democratic republic anymore. We live in an oligarchy. All right.
We call
Do you know what an oligarchy is?
No.
You don't know what oligarchy is? A power in the hands of a few people. In this case, in this country, that is the bankers, which own this country.
The money.
Whoever the bankers want to come to be into office next year, they will put into office.
Someone needs to use your hair phone.
Yeah, hold on. 440, you're breaking up a little, man. I don't know if you put it on speaker or something, but you're breaking up a little bit on our end.
No, it's funny. My dog's puking right next to me.
Oh, I see. We love dogs. I love a dog. I have a dog.
But you have a let me put it in perspective for you from a guy that's from out of the country. I came here as a migrant worker, you know, working in the fields and stuff like that. How do you see a damn vanilla brother out there? You know what I mean? We're doing the work out there and stuff like that. If it wasn't for us doing the work, you know, people can talk about immigration all they want, you know. If it wasn't for us out there, you'd be paying $10, you know, a pound for tomatoes. And people here in this country sometimes complain about Mickey Mouse stuff, you know. But if people really want to get, you know, want to get their country back, forget politics. Start boycotting the money.
Exactly. Boycotting, I agree.
Take over the grassroots all the way. That's what we have to do. You can't have lazy people here.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, people like us, we come from other countries, we come to work. People down here, they want everything free. It's not going to work, though. So you got to go and get it, you know?
Many.
Well, the problem is people that live in this country, that are born in this country, feel entitled. See, that's the problem.
Well, they are entitled, falsely, but they are entitled.
Exactly.
You know, like, it is what they're granted, you know? That's, I guess, the beauty of, I guess, of America. I'm not, like, all for it. But, you know, Manny's making a good point, man. There's people who want to work, man, because they just want to get something done. And then you see other...
That's what I want to do. Well, I mean, shit, I'm 22 years old. Where's my job? I don't have a fucking job. I've been working. I've been trying to get a job for years since I graduated high school.
Hey, you interested in doing some media work?
Shit, I wouldn't mind. Shit, I got a computer.
Because, hey, man, I mean, a lot of these industries are suffering right now, but I'm proud to say, dude, the anti-media is... We're
like, on an uphill, man.
We're growing right now, man. Like, so, you know, our website didn't really kick off until early this year, maybe in April, May, when we really started...
Truth be told, there's been variants, versions.
Yeah, I mean, right. We've had a few versions of the website. Like I said, we've had trouble getting the versions right and stuff like that. But, you know, we started off earlier this year, but now we already have, like, 15 people, dude. 15 people working with the organization and writing articles and managing social media and doing all this stuff.
Well, you know, I'm a really good writer, man. If you need a writer, you got one right here.
This is Nick talking.
All right, man, well... Yeah, that's Nick from 760. Dude, just send us a message on Facebook, man. And
we're working on getting the email set up so that you guys can actually send in...
or you can go through the contact form on the website, too, and I'll get the email. But
send
us your info, dude, and, you know...
Just the anti-media on Facebook?
What's that?
Just the anti-media on Facebook?
Yeah, for sure.
The anti-media?
All right, I'll send you a message. Just Nick Macarella.
All right. Nick.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. Have you ever been? I spend like every other summer in Alaska cutting fish. And
yeah, that's my brother.
Dude, it's a whole different world. I'm not even joking with you. It is a whole different world there. And when you go there, and you come back here, you feel like you came to a whole other country again. It's ridiculous how free it is there. If you want to work. That's all you get. They don't care if you got a criminal record. They don't care if you were a child molester, a murderer. It doesn't matter. If you're there to work, you're there to work, and they're putting you to work. $10 an hour under the table is like the minimum air you're going to get there just to cut fish.
Marijuana's
legal
out there, too, man.
After living there 2 years, they actually pay you to live there.
Exactly.
Yeah, marijuana's completely legal up there now, too.
You have to live there for like a certain amount of time and utility bills and stuff, all that stuff in your name, and they will pay you.
It's about $1,800 a year.
$1,800 a year. There's also a program like that Tom Cruise movie with Nicole Kidman called Far and Away, where it's kind of like if you got a promise to make the land, you know, build on it, you know, like build the land up, and they will give the land to you, and you. Sign some kind of contract and all this. I don't know. I read all kinds of stuff about it way before I started going up there, like 10 years ago.
I'm 40 now. I just turned 40 on Christmas Eve. I've been through so much crap, prison, this and that. I mean, everything. I've been through it all, and I struggle every day. And I got five kids with two babies' moms, and it's just like such a struggle to work, take care of all that, and take a bus to work, and not be able to drive just because I drove without freaking insurance. It's stupid anyways. Damn.
It's
anti-constitutional.
All this stuff, all this stuff will pile up on us, dude. And that's why we need to build up this new economy, dude. We need to build up these new ideas. And as we were talking about a bit ago, about the labor force and how the labor force is getting watered down and getting weakened. The labor unions are almost completely bankrupt, and at least a lot of times morally bankrupt too, because the labor unions have had the same fate as any other bureaucratic organization. They have corruption and stuff like that, and that's why we need to rethink all this stuff, man. We've been organizing our society this way for much too long. I mean, the corporate attitude is a fairly new concept, but it's been going on in a different form, more or less. Feudalism and land barons and all this crap, it's been going on since, you know, for thousands of years, dude. And we keep on making the same mistake, and every country has its own growing pains. I mean, look at Mexico. They're on the verge of a revolution again. It seems like every 100 years. I mean, what was it, 1810, right?
You know, I do not know
when they actually rebelled against the Spanish, and then 1910 they had their own internal revolution.
The Mexican Revolution.
And now they're on the verge of revolution once again. I mean, so what we need to do, I think, is like, we need to come up and develop new ideas as far as
establishing. No, I agree with you 100%.
Culture.
The internet's new too. So you guys got to remember too. You guys are probably a lot younger than me, and we didn't have the internet. We had freaking Atari, Nintendo.
You said you're 40, right?
Yeah, I just turned 40.
40. Man, you're only a decade away from us.
My son just got an Xbox, whatever one, for Christmas with a Call of Duty on it. You know what he says to me today? He's 9. He goes, "I can't wait to be in the military so I can sit on the boat and shoot people."
Oh wow!
Like, you were talking about the boots on the ground earlier. That's what I was like. Oh my god, that's my son. He's like being trained. This kid can tell you every. He's 9 years old. He can tell you every single gun by sight. You look at a gun and go, "What the heck? Where it costs 5-10? It holds 40 rounds." Level. I'm like, really? I don't even know.
Well, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to desensitize the youth. That's the whole reason why they do this with these video games and technology. And
well, good. Check this out.
You see on TV.
Check this out.
We're all just trying to desensitize.
The future of warfare is it's going to be kids thinking they're playing Call of Duty. It's going to be like the same thing, but it's actually going to be real. And they're going to be controlling some kind of drone soldier.
No, I don't believe that, because there is no warfare unless there's a loss of human life. That's what warfare is. And that's what
That's why there'll be loss of human life, and it'll just be whoever has the best technology will lose less human lives.
Exactly.
There are people like that, I mean, like me. If I was able to be in the military, I'd be a private contractor. But I committed two felonies at 18 years old, and I can't even be in the military. I'd have been a lifer. I just got away from everything, done all that, and whatever. But there are people, there are a certain group of people that are like the mercenaries, technically, back in the days, which are called private contractors today, that get out of the military. They don't like the military life, but they still like the life of carrying guns and walking around and, you know, doing the
private contract. Well, we live in America, man. We should be able to carry guns anyways.
Yeah, man. They got about
Afghanistan and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, in Iraq, they said
on the ground with those guys.
In Iraq, they were talking about pulling all the troops out. You know, Obama said he ended the war in Iraq. What was that? 2 years ago or whatever.
When he first came into office, he promised to take all the troops out of the Middle East.
Yeah, so I mean, he pulled these military guys out of Iraq, and keep in mind, these guys, what military guys make about 40, 50 grand a year max, for like, you know, the basic private and stuff. So these guys don't make very much money. They make a regular like blue collar type of salary. And but then they got these contractors in there that a lot of these contractors, man, these guys make 150, 200 grand, 250 grand a year. Last time we tried to tally up the amount of contractors in Iraq, and this is like just as ISIS started coming you know, becoming a big news story. We tried to tally up the amount of contractors that were left in Iraq, and we came up to about 8,000 contractors were still in Iraq. You know, and these guys are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, I mean, they say that the troops got pulled out, but they didn't pull the troops out, actually, because they got all these government-funded contractors in there. And they're making as much money. You know, we're spending a lot of money over there still.
Yeah, exactly. We're never going to leave. You know, we're there for good. Yeah, have you ever heard of, what's the word, you know, colonization?
Colonization,
That's exactly what we're doing there in the Middle East, is we're colonizing them. You know, their government that they have over there in Iraq right now is a fucking puppet government that we put in place.
Yep.
We do have a new caller on the line from 757 area code. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
How you doing it tonight?
How you doing?
Hey, man.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I was more or less just listening, man, but I can add a portion, man. My whole portion is that the United States is over there. Their whole aim is to tear down the infrastructure so they can rebuild it and put that whole Middle East in debt along with that puppet government so they can't stay there forever. That's my only
exactly.
question.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
I have to be real touchy when I talk to people around, like I was talking about. When I start explaining stuff to people around me, you can't use the word slave because it makes their brain go somewhere totally different. But if you have a social security number here, you're technically a slave. You know, if you look at it from the base view of it, they freed the black people from the slavery, blah, 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 that good stuff. But then they made everybody but them a slave, technically, because we just work to pay their bills.
No, we're all slaves. It's not black, it's not white.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
We are all slaves.
Everybody that has a social security number that isn't in charge.
Everybody who has a social security number and everybody who doesn't have a social security number. You know, everybody's just fucking, it's a survival of the fittest, and we're only given these certain tools, you know, and what do we do with what we have? We have to make the best of it.
Yeah,
and
man,
so,
like, because even the people that are here that don't even have social security numbers are still basically paying into this whole thing, and the problem is, the problem for me, man, and I actually feel like, every time I pay taxes, man, I feel kind of bad because it's like,
These taxes are going
to do horrible things, like who knows where. And it's like every time I think about that, it's like, dude, we got to figure out more ways to stop, you know, paying into this stuff.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's another place where the counter economy and, you know, like cryptocurrencies and stuff like that, but also like bartering and stuff like that needs to be done a lot more. And I mean, some of these states are even trying to find a way to tax bartering and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah,
so
well, you know,
we need to foster that stuff, but at the same time, make sure that it doesn't get interfered with.
You know, this ties in with what Manny was saying earlier. Is like, I think we give too much focus to the government, and in reality, dude, let them fucking make a fucking mess out of themselves. Why not start something on our own? You know, something where
we're a part of it. Though.
We're kind of like just.
That's what I was talking about earlier, where we have the internet now.
By default, we're part of it.
Fucking right now.
Does anyone here smoke cigarettes?
No, I don't.
Just as an example, all right, let's say you go to a store and you buy a pack of gum, right?
Right.
You're paying tax to the government every time you buy that pack of gum.
Right.
So there's no way you can get around it. How are you going to survive in this country if you're not buying food and paying taxes to the government?
I agree with you, man. It's going to be a slow progression. We can't expect the change to happen within the next 2-3 years.
I was getting gas yesterday, man, and I looked at on the side of the pump. It showed the little tax rates.
Right.
And in California, the tax on every gallon is like over a dollar. I'm not joking. So think about how many millions of gallons of gas in California are sold every day. We got
our gas is only, the lowest I've seen it is $2.45 right now in California.
Yeah, which means that, like,
I'm in Ohio.
Gas station,
ours is
if it's $2.45,
right,
the gas station is actually charging $1.45. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, wow. $1 off the top automatically goes to the government. That is completely insane. And that's another reason I think people need it's important to get off the fossil fuel for your cars, like on gas, just because of the fact that it's taxed like hell. I mean, you get other fuels like electricity and stuff like that that aren't taxed as high. I mean, electricity is taxed pretty high still.
It is.
But you can get it for a lot less than what they're taxing gas. I mean, that's crazy. A dollar on every gallon, that's insane.
Well, hey, here's what I'm saying. I want to make a point about gas stations. My ex works at a gas station, Sunoco. They buy gas. Okay, say, let's give a vague example. Say I'm the gas station owner. I buy gas for a certain price that day. It might be a dollar. Let's say I buy a dollar or whatever in gas. Now, 2 days later, gas prices go up. I only paid for a dollar for that gas, but now since gas prices went up, I'm going to charge the price that everybody's paying now, so maybe it's $2 now. Even though I only paid a dollar, you know, whatever for the gas, and now next week the gas is way up, but I paid cheaper, but I'm still going to charge you the going rate for the gas. That's why it's like stock market stuff. It just goes up and down, and they play it. And it's ridiculous.
Well, see, that's capitalism for you.
It is.
That's how capitalism works.
Right, but that's the distraction. Like
exactly.
I mean, like, I'm a Moor. I'm what people would call black, but I am not black. I'm actually Native American, but I'm labeled as black. And as such, I've been studying myself, my history, in the history of the world. And like all of this racial things, and like it's about nationality and what they do.
They try to put the race in there, racism.
Right, but what the brother just said about the social security numbers, that was the slavery. They are enslaving all the people. Like, versus was the Moors.
Yeah,
now
it was their way of labeling us. You know.
Right. Now with the people.
Let's start tagging them. And why is it a problem? I mean, and it becomes a problem because then all these people are trying to get into this country, and how do we keep track of them? And you know, it's just so damn retarded. And I don't agree with the government, and no one does here. You know, and the whole point about it is that let it be. When I say let it be, is like, you know, these people are going to make a fool of themselves for the next. We need to plant a seed and start building small communities throughout all our communities.
Okay.
In short, what I think you're saying is that we need to outgrow the system.
We do need to outgrow the system.
Yeah, we do. Yes, I agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. But, all right, I'm going to bring something up controversial here. All right, let's talk about Ferguson real quick.
Okay.
All right. The Ferguson
riots. 2014 news, so we accept it. Bring it on.
That's another.
Okay, all right. The Ferguson riots that was going on, you know, I disagreed with what the prosecutor did. You know, I think that cop was guilty as shit. All right, he murdered that boy, and what pisses me off the most is that when you look on the news and you listen to the news, it's, oh, a white police officer killed a black man in Ferguson. Why does it have to be a white police officer killed a black man? Why can't it be a police officer killed a man in Ferguson? Okay, so if we're ever going to make any change here in this country, the first thing we need to do is get rid of racism.
Are the adjectives.
All right, I mean, racism is what built this country, and racism is what we need to get rid of before we make any progress whatsoever.
Well, then if racism is what's built it, man, is racism is what's going to take it down.
Right.
No, I don't agree with that.
That's why they keep throwing it at us. Hold on, we got to go one at a time, guys. Let me pitch in on some stuff from a different country point of view. One of the things that people in America are not doing, a lot of illiteracy down here. You're not using your libraries. You need to educate yourself.
Exactly. Thank you, guys.
I can guarantee you everybody would not educate my children, but that you couldn't pass the test that I had to pass to become a U.S. citizen.
Homie,
no way
I challenge
pass
you,
that. I guarantee you that.
Whoa, you're getting angry there, bro.
Pardon me. Let me say this about being a U.S. citizen. Now, you know that the Republic government was already usurped before 1933 in the United States. It's in the United States Code that the United States is not the organic United States government, and it is a corporation. So when you are saying you are a U.S. citizen, that's part of the slavery. It's just under a new name.
I agree with that. I just can't stand that our founding fathers put laws into place and constitution, all that. It's all null and void right now. It's just whatever they want to do now.
It's not null and void.
Yes, right, they do.
The Constitution is the supreme law of the land.
Only exactly.
That we the people are not enforcing, because when the Constitution was formulated, it was like the joining of two different nations, which was the 13 colonies, and then you had the Moors. It was two different people that came in together and agreed to maintain the land, but then it was usurped by slavery. This is not going to the racial area, but even though that plays a part, but that's the past, that's history. But what they did, once they enslaved the Moors, they came back and enslaved the people. And now it is the people that's functioning as government that is enslaving everybody, and they're doing it, and they did it through trickery and not teaching us the true history. But that's where it comes on us, the people, to learn. Because when we start to say we are U.S. citizens and all of that, and when we look and see that the U.S. citizens, that the United States is an incorporated corporation that is incorporated in Delaware, how can you be a citizen of a corporation? That's just like McDonald's owning people. It doesn't do. It just can't be. So what we have to do, not about race and not about nothing else, it should be about nationality and learning the laws, not the statute, because the statutes now are private code. They are not laws right now, because the United States is a corporation. The only law is the Constitution.
I think the Constitution was like originally, man, they probably, at least they sold it as a idea that was going to constrain the government. You know, because it was really
that was the point.
It was founded on the idea of like rebelling against the British Empire and all that stuff. But it seems like now the Constitution only plays a role of like constraining people, and then the government basically gets to do whatever they want. You know,
constrain people. It's the government wording the Constitution in the way that they want it to be worded.
Exactly.
Well, we're talking about, you know, a living document that's. It's able to be amended, but you got to think about who amends the Constitution. Well, when it comes down to it, politicians
have to. We do. We the people amend the Constitution. Right. It also defends our rights as the people in this nation to take over the government if it is not in our favor. That is protected by the Constitution. Right. Exactly. If we wanted to have a revolution right now, we could do that, and we would be protected by the Constitution.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's the interpretation that you know, these guys take on it, and then the way that they're able to amend it and interpret it. What they do is they work it against us, and they give themselves free reign. I mean, like the NSA, the CIA, all that stuff is basically unconstitutional. You know, it shouldn't even exist,
we need protection.
And what are we going to do, bring down the entire NSA and CIA with lawyers? I mean, I don't think it's going to work that way. I mean, this is the government.
What we need to do is take to the street. We need to protest, and we need to let them know how we feel.
We need to go to the streets.
A protest wouldn't be good unless you already know, because if you start going protesting, you're not organized and don't even know what you're going for.
What else we need? We need a collective voice along with the protesters. See, we can't just have protests and expect any real change. We need to have some kind of collective voice, like we're doing right now on the internet, talking with each other. Yep. We need to have some form of collection and form new ideas to put towards the protesters for what they're fighting for.
Nick, welcome to 2015, right, man. That's what we're going to do, man. That's our goal.
Here's the thing. Everybody has ideas, right? Every single individual has their own different idea about like how everything should be, or how they think the world should be, or, you know, world outlook, view on life, all that stuff. But the problem is that what we need to start doing, I think, the biggest thing that we need to do in 2015 is take these ideas and actually start implementing them in the smallest ways, even if it's just starting getting a plot of land. Well, some
we need to start educating people.
We need to start getting these ideas into play, because, like, without having a working example to go by, people are kind of hesitant. That's one thing I've noticed, is that people are like, oh, well, like, that's good and all, but, like, I don't know what you're talking about because it's never been done.
Well, you know why? It's because they're so used to the fucking system that they're in place in right now.
They
that's
are.
The
it's
only reason.
Right.
Or they have to work, and they're too busy to even bother with it because they have to make money to just survive. And they don't want
that too.
You guys, our responsibility is to educate around us and influence as many people as we can through the resources. Now, that's where we come in, you know. We can connect people, you know. We can connect your hood with my hood and his hood with his hood. And we can generate these ideas, make them grow. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of work, man. I don't see it in my lifetime, but I feel like we can plant seed. You know,
we also need to respect each other as activists and people, stop interrupting each other and really talk and even if you disagree with anybody, we have to disagree with respect, not with yelling at each other or anything, you know. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is bridge the gap. I'm bridging the gap.
I'm coming to Diego
on January the 10th. I'll be by the border as a protester because of things happening down here at the border. So I'll be down here in San Diego.
Because I believe in your cause, I'm with you in spirit, okay? Just know that. I'm one of you, man.
No, you'll be with us, dude. We're going to go down there.
Am I going? Yes. Yeah. I'll be there. I'll see everybody there. You guys, we're winding down to the last few minutes of our episode here tonight. It was really nice to get to meet you guys. I think maybe we can shoot out our ideas for our New Year's resolution. Close out with a really nice one. Let's see. Nick, what's yours?
No, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions.
No, come on, man. One change. Maybe we can... Next year, you'll believe in New Year's resolutions. How about that?
I guess my resolution would be to make some kind of change.
All right. We'll help you with that. Which one's yours? 440. Oh, that's Rob, right?
Yeah.
Rob, what's your one New Year's resolution?
Mine isn't really government orientated. I stopped drinking 17 days ago. I drank for 12 years straight, and I'm 17 days sober, and
congratulations.
We're going to do this next year, and we're going to celebrate your 365 plus 12 days, all right?
You know what?
All right. 557. What do you have to for your New Year's resolution? No, 757. All right. And Manny, do you have your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I actually do, brother. My resolution is to, you know, as an activist, to bridge the gap between Los Angeles and San Diego, and also with Tijuana, obviously. And right now is the perfect timing to do that, because of anybody in this call that doesn't know about the Normalistas, I know you do, but, you know, the other callers, of the 43 students that got killed in my home state of Guerrero. Not in my hometown of Acapulco, but in my home state of Guerrero. And that's one of the biggest questions.
I like your mission, man. I like how you're trying to join LA with San Diego. You know, I do actually feel like there's like this separation, man.
Dude, I think between San Diego and Tijuana, we probably have as many people as LA.
Yes, we do. Probably more, bro. I actually would bet for more.
If we could, like, and man, dude, we're like border cities. We're like border. All the population is right on the border between each other, dude. We need to work more with each other, man. He's right.
Nick, what's your New Year's resolution?
Me?
Yay.
Man, just to keep pressing on, I was kind of sad today. I had to sell my aquaponic, or I didn't sell it, actually. I gave my aquaponic system to my buddy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's going to set it up. Fortunately, he's not that far from me, but we're going to set up the aquaponic system. But, man, like, for me, it's like just advancing ideas of overgrowing the system, more or less.
Pretty much.
And I think for me, it's like, food and water, electricity, stuff like that is really important to like underline our ideas to make people like comfortable with them, dude. Because as long as that basic stuff is like taken, you know, well thought out, then it's not that hard for people to make the jump.
Great.
I mean, it's
a, well, you know, I just want to thank all you guys for letting me join in and all that. I appreciate having you guys have me here on your radio show.
Thank you, man. New Year's resolution, really quick, man. You know what? To be here next year. Happy New Year, guys. 2-0.
Happy New Year on the
East Coast. Let's give it up.